Mark 13. Everyone a Minister was a 1974 book and is an ongoing concept among some Lutherans. It's not true if minister refers to the called and ordained, but we are all doorkeepers in the house of the Lord. At first glance, it seems that just one is, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They're the ones addressed in Mark 13. And so it seems an apostle is the one at the door told to keep watch, and by application, then your pastor. But then Jesus subtly flips it back on all of us. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. So everyone's a doorkeeper. But some regular churchgoers have heard that so often, they're immune to watching, which doesn't make for much of a doorkeeper. So what's the answer to the spiritual malaise? The short answer would be Advent. But the textual one is to develop a woke culture. Now, we hear woke today, and to most Christians, that's bad. Today, if you're woke, you're awake to see that white middle-class America around you is really a dystopia of racism, elitism, and homophobia. Now, even if all that were true, don't make the mistake of being woke to worldly problems that you're fast asleep to the spiritual ones. Look at the history of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Gradually, the call for justice over against real racism all but pushed out the gospel of Christ. The warning of Jesus has a focus on his return, the end of the world. Our text uses four imperatives of three different verbs to emphasize the call to watch and be prepared for his return. You must be on guard. You must be awake. You must rouse yourself to wakefulness. These are all present, active, imperative verbs. They are policy commands. They're not situationally oriented. That's because this fallen world is nothing less than the poppy field of the Wicked Witch of Oz. On all sides, the scents, the smells of this light invite us not to sleep in heavenly peace, but to sleep to heavenly things, sleep to spiritual realities. Sin, death, and the devil are just religious constructs that primitive people made up. Sleep, sleep. Don't pay attention to them. Snooze on. Yeah, Jesus came the first time. Sure, the pastor says he comes today in word and sacrament. And Jesus did promise to come again, but sleep, my pretties, sleep. If you realize lives depend on you staying awake, you'll try most anything. While driving, people roll the windows down, sing to the radio, chew ice, pull the hair at the back of their neck. On guard seems to point to a military application, and that fits, but it may be specifically a religious one. In the temple, the captain of the guards made the rounds at night. The guards had to rise at his approach and salute in a particular manner. Any guard found sleeping was beaten or his garments were set on fire. Records indicate that this did happen. Also, the priests on duty were required to be ready at a moment's notice for the superintending priest to knock at the door to be let in. No one knew when he'd knock. The rabbis use almost the very same words Scripture does to describe the unexpected coming of the Master. Sometimes he came at cockcrowing, sometimes a little earlier, and sometimes a little later. Now that sentence right there is found in a Jewish document that dates to 200 AD. Now no one knows if it reflects the practice of Jesus' time or Jesus' words influenced their practice. But it does seem that the idea of a no-excuse spiritual reason to be woke was something the disciples would be familiar with. Now, we have a harder time getting there. So I'd advise you to lean into wokeness. This is one of those expressions that you understand the very first time you hear it. The first recorded use of lean in is only 2001. Advising someone to lean into a thing indicates where their emphasis and effort should be. In this verse, a lot is going on. Jesus says it's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells one at the door to keep watch. But the leaving and the putting his servants in charge, they're not the main thought. They are participles. The doorkeeper being commanded, that's the main thought. You can hear it in this NASB translation. It's like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commands the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Lean into that command. Then the NIV doesn't help because it introduces a time doubt. Jesus does not say, like a man going away, as if he hasn't yet gone. He says, like a man away on a journey. Even though Jesus is among us in word and sacrament, even though Jesus is with us till the end of the ages, even though we stand for his presence in the reading of the gospel, even though we bow at his presence on the altar at communion, Jesus is still away and we wait for his second coming. Even though he succeeded in redeeming us lost and condemned creatures the first time he came, even though he purchased and won us from sin, death, and the power of the devil 2 millennia ago, even though he did this with his innocent suffering and death and by the shedding of his holy precious blood on a hill called Golgotha, even given all that, he's still not through with us. He's returning to raise the dead and give eternal life to all believers in Christ. He's returning to create a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. He's returning visibly to reign and rule visibly. Lean into watching for that reality. Lean into being a doorkeeper with the command to watch. The Lord tells us, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. Last week, the Lord said, we don't know the day or hour. This is not to foster constant fear, but constant expectation, a constant leaning toward the coming of Christ. Lean in to his first coming, his incarnation, his redemption, his keeping of the law, and his bearing of your guilt. Lean in to your baptism, your absolution, your communing with the Holy One by means of holy things. On the bad days, lean into the fact that today could be the day your Lord returns to bring to fruition all of his promises. On the good days, lean into the fact that the good here is but a foretaste of the far better that is to come any day now. If you watch enough sports, a commentator sooner or later will point out the importance of leaning. Quarterbacks watch which way a defensive back is leaning. A pitcher catches a runner leaning towards second base at the wrong time and he picks him off. The basketball player gets the defender to lean one direction to go around the other. What you lean toward, you go towards. Lean not into all these things that are passing away. Lean not towards things that are going away, but toward the one whose very title in the Old Testament is the coming one. The Proverbs 24, 33 and 34 says that by a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Now don't think the Holy Spirit is merely warning you of nothing more than earthly poverty and scarcity. The apostles were overcome with sleep at critical moments, transfiguration and in Gethsemane. I'll tell you the practical advice that will help you develop a woke culture and lean into it. Have the playwright's perspective. A playwright, or a novelist or screenwriter, too for that matter, knows the end from the beginning. In the midst of a show or movie or book, when the writer has done a good job of jacking up the suspense in me, I think, wait a minute, there really is no suspense here. The writer knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows if that bomb's going to explode. He knows whether that person who plunged over the side of a building landed on an awning or not. So, who better to be the doorkeepers of the world than those who've been trained to see the world from God's perspective, who watch the unfolding drama with the heavenly playwright's script in their hands? We know whom we watch for. We know this better than the apostles in our text did. We've been to Golgotha. We've seen the horror our sins cause and the price of our being forgiven. But we've also been to the upper room and been given his body and blood for forgiveness. We've been to the empty tomb and then watched as God the Son reascends his native heaven to reign and rule over all things. We know the end from the beginning, and more importantly, we know who began it all and who will end it all. Our Father, our brother, our Redeemer, Savior, and friend. We know the one Isaiah prophesied to come, who carries the key of David on his shoulder. Isaiah predicted, what he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. Then in Revelation, Jesus describes himself as the one who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. We know that Revelation 3 says Jesus stands at the door of sinners' hearts, knocking with his law and gospel, knocking with his mercy that endures forever, knocking with his peace that is beyond human understanding. We know that before our Savior ever declared himself a sheepfold or the good shepherd, he said he was the door. I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, they will be saved. To the playwright, nothing is meaningless, right? He doesn't have anyone or thing in his script that isn't necessary to bring the story to the conclusion he determines. Whatever drama, pain, hardship, heartache, whatever life, death, illness, joy, triumph, happiness, or grace, whatever is there, it's there because the playwright wants it to be. I don't think many people walk out of a play before it ends because they don't think it can or will. Besides, no one's going to walk out of our playwright script. We doorkeepers, intimate friends of the playwright, assure people the end is coming, and it will be good news for his children, his friends, his siblings. Historically, the gospel appointed for the first Sunday in Advent was Jesus' Palm Sunday triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You can still hear that in our hymns, the gradual, the introit, and the collect. The note is one of rejoicing, of being rescued, of being delivered into better things. What doorkeeper wouldn't watch for something better? Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.